Greetings, kindred witches. Welcome to this episode of Atomic Witchcraft.
Here we share our experiences as we build a modern-day inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, celestial cycles, and the science of energy.
Join us as we build a craft that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works toward building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us.
Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. Hi everyone, I'm Ash, an atomic witch walking an eclectic road since the 90s.
I'm Alyssa, about 20 years in and growing a mostly green path.
And I'm Jay, new to the practice, composing a bard witchcraft.
Welcome to our grove, here at the Atomic Hearth.
Because witch weaves together many webs, past, present, and future, we'd like to acknowledge that we are currently practicing our craft on the lands of the Coast Salish peoples, specifically the Duwamish, Muckleshoot, and Puyallup tribes.
The Atomic team participates in Real Rent, and we encourage you to engage with and contribute to similar programs in your area.
Now, let's get witchy. Hey listeners, before we dig into this episode, we just want to let you know that we're nearing the end of our Witch Path series, and we would love to answer any questions you may have. This might be a question about a specific craft path, or about our process creating the episodes, or even the witch's wheel as a whole. You name it. Feel free to ask the questions of one of us specifically or as a whole group. We will collect and respond to all of your questions in an episode to air just after the holidays. To ask a question, head over to the link tree in our bio. You can also drop us a line on social media, Patreon, or Discord. Now, enjoy the rest of the episode.
In this episode, we are continuing our conversation about a witch-based practice. In part one of which, we mentioned the many different flavors these paths may come in. And while we did a brief overview of each, we are really going to dig into some of them in a bit more depth during this episode. We fully admit that these are big subjects and there is no way we will be able to cover everything today. We have, however, divided the content into several easy-to-access episodes. The Force, The Supernatural, A Shadowed Way, Walking Widdershins, Dancing Diasil, and Community Crafters.
Remember, when building a practice and knowing where to get started, the sapling witchcrafts provide a foundation, and each wheel turn builds on that foundation, adding more layers, expanding out to include additional elements, and adding skills spell by spell. And here, in Witch, the wheel continues to turn, ever deepening and expanding, as Witch builds craft and practice over a lifetime.
In the sapling cycle, which you can check out in our sapling playlist for more specifics, we start with the basics of working with witch, covering the basics of astral work, meaning the witch within, a general sense of occult practices and history, ancestor work, and energy work, at its simplest. In the fledgling cycle, we try new and deeper work in astral, ancestor, and energy areas. We invite witch in and learn about deity practices, ritual building, and birth ceremonies. In Ember, we're living as witch, now working with ease in astral worlds, expanding ceremony work to include life unions, and leveling up our energy work, deity knowledge, and encountering the fae. In the river wheel turn, we're becoming witch, with the astral as a second home, fine-tuning our practice, and further advancing with energy, deity work, fae work, and adding death ceremonies to our practice. And then, as the wheel cycles into witch, it's a moment of culmination, with a full breadth of experience as your foundation. Not as a destination, but rather a completeness of being, through which even further specializing and mixing can continue to chart your way, finding and following the paths most right for you. In Community Crafters, we walk a path which builds crafts and practices for the ways we understand each other, as well as that which connects us. The Advocate Witch uses their magic to raise the rally cry, championing a future they hold dear, while the Justice Witch weaves a similar path, instead focused on the balance of guilt and innocence. The Bridge Builder reaches out to new community connections, while the Guide Witch reaches out to help others find their witchy way. The Village Witch lends a hand in helping the wider community around them, while the Covencraft Witch cultivates the community of a bonded small group in practice together. And so, to start our journey through these community-oriented crafts, we begin today by taking up the cause of the Advocate Witch.
The Advocate Witch is one who uses their voice and place in the community to support and fight for causes or policies they believe in. This is very similar to the Activism Witch in episode 100, Way of Words. Because there is so much intersection, I highly recommend giving that episode a listen. But today, I'll be focusing on what makes the Advocate Witch a slightly different path. Magics to focus on will depend on how you want to practice advocacy witchcrafts. But anything that empowers you, helps you to use your voice, grounds you, or connects you to the world around will be beneficial. You may also explore practices like charm and attraction magic to help tip the scales in favor of your chosen cause. Whereas the activist witch may choose to focus and rally for many causes, an advocate witch may choose to lean heavily into just one or a couple of issues that they are very passionate about. Maybe you fight to have dams removed that affect salmon migration, or you promote legislation to ensure trans kids get gender-affirming care in your state. Whatever the cause, the Advocate Witch backs it up with the power of their craft and by taking practical steps. That could look like speaking at a town hall to champion a bill you want to see passed, while simultaneously working a spell behind the scenes to lend additional energy to the cause. Just one example of how the Advocate Witch blends magic and activism. A big aspect of this path is getting out into the community and doing the work needed to champion change. Care about food insecurity? Host a food drive, or spend some hours working at your local food bank. Environmental issues at the forefront for you? Join a group that cleans parks or work for local nonprofits to get legislation passed. Concerned about reproductive rights? Volunteer at your local Planned Parenthood to protect folks seeking care, or take to the street and protest ever-restricting laws. Your presence and the act of showing up and speaking out are going to be your biggest tools as an advocate witch. As you might imagine, this path is best practiced loudly and publicly, though you can keep the magical side a little closer to the chest if you wish. However, if you live somewhere where it's not safe to physically show up for the causes you care about, then engaging with online communities is always a valid option. Moving through our community, we find a witch that rubs shoulders with the advocate, the Justice Witch.
A Justice Witch aligns their intent and their tools with the ever-shifting balance of right and wrong. Clarity is the broad goal for much of their work, but more specifically, this is clarity of truth. A practice of this nature could bolster the life of someone who dedicates their career or life in the worlds of innocence and guilt in our society. Public defenders or judges might easily come to mind here, but this practice also blends naturally with that of the Advocate Witch, where the cause to be furthered is one with the need to bring the crimes, or lack thereof, of one or many to the light of day. And so this is, in a magical sense, a craft which explores and unpacks the energies of cause and effect. The truth is very often quite complicated, and real justice requires an ability to pull those complexities apart, to not just understand what has happened or is happening, but why and the nature of root causes. The magics and tools, thus, of someone working this craft may include things like charm magic or even bard crafts for connecting with those who need to hear your message of truth. Any tools that offer clarity, and really by that I mean the investigation of the unclear, will also be essential. So divination tools and even things like cleansing or banishing work may be handy in this toolkit. And then, let's be sure to say it, this work is likely not for the faint of heart. Insecurity in your own confidence, values, and resilience is going to be paramount. So protection magic and even some personal shadow work may go hand in hand with your pursuit of justice for others. As they so beautifully say in Ted Lasso, the truth may set you free, but first it'll piss you off. The idea of creating a witchcraft practice focused on justice is something I've been exploring for myself for a long time. I do not spend much or any real time, professionally or otherwise, personally aiming to prove the innocence or guilt of the accused, but I do work for a journalism organization where I witness every day the difficult and invaluable work of the pursuit of truth without fear or favor. I've often wondered if connecting with the energies that connect us all as people, despite our differences, still cohabiting this same world each day, could make more clear where we persecute unfairly or are blind to injustice. As I explore more of the tools and methods which this practice could utilize, like bardcraft and protection magic, to call out two of my personal focuses, it gives me hope that, given the chance, maybe I could really do some good where and when I have that chance. And so, for my tip on developing a justice witch practice, I recommend spending time learning about those who have successfully fought for justice as examples. You know, what questions did they help people to ask and explore? What common ground did they make clear to those who needed to not just see it, but have the courage to stand upon it? Justice takes many forms, but I believe the goal is always the same: to make known the whole and unbiased truth, so the judgments and decisions we make are free of bias, prejudice, or illusion. A justice witch practice is likely going to be a private one. Given the subject of the work could be quite contentious, awareness of magic or spell work being applied could very easily be taken negatively as trying to artificially alter minds and outcomes. And on that point, it's worth adding that although a tool like charm magic could be very helpful in this practice, the goal is not to emphasize your opinion of things, but rather always the truth of things. This may mean unveiling uncomfortable truths, to be sure, but to be a justice witch is to boldly pursue this end in order to keep the proverbial scales in balance. From finding the truth to founding new connections, we shift now to the practice of the bridge builder witch. A bridge builder witch builds a practice focused outward, spending their energy to connect with people and groups in order to expand their witchy community, especially to those who may be either wholly unaware of or perhaps even wary of those kinds of communities. This witch uses their own energy and their work to illuminate common ties and ground, to forge new bonds and give energy to the things which connect us. And by design and nature, this witch is going to be constantly in the mix of collaborative work. The bridge can't be built alone. So whether this is work to reach out to new generations, traditions, or folks who are just doubtful, the efforts here need to successfully draw the energy of connection out from both sides of the equation to meet in the middle together. A bridge builder's magics thus could feel a lot like a hearth witch's magics, calling back to fire witchy for a moment, in that they should employ all the tools and magics that they need to cultivate an atmosphere which is welcoming and inviting and makes it easy to lean into commonalities. So, depending on the setting, virtual or in person, this witch might utilize bardcraft like storytelling or music and song, aroma or color magic, or even hearthcraft itself, in the warm and welcoming embrace of a gathering bonfire or campfire. As you might imagine, this is the kind of work we think about a lot on the Atomic Witchcraft team. Our hopes from the very beginning, as they continue to be, have been to cultivate a community which is inclusive and welcoming to witches from a diversity of backgrounds, generations, traditions, and interests, to arrive at a grove which in many ways could reflect the wide world we all share. I won't explore all of our secret sauce right now, but to be successful in reaching out and across to such a wide swath of humanity, we're actively conscientious of how our word choice, visuals, music choices, or even episode timing can always be building bridges wide and far. And so that's also my best advice here. For anyone looking to build a bridge builder practice, always approach the ways you're connecting with others from a place of openness, where the work isn't about convincing and persuading, but rather uncovering and exploring the things already held in common and in your hearts. Bridge building also is not about talking at people about your commonalities. Listen, listen, listen with all your heart To understand the things we have in common requires learning them, which can't happen if it's always about the things you want to say. Listening really is a critical tool of this kind of practice. Naturally, this craft is a somewhat public one, given the collaborative need of building proper bridges here. This means you'll want to be mindful of what you're bringing to the table in your words, manner, and clarity of intentions. Trust, ultimately the bedrock of any new relationship, is always easiest built from a place of honesty, openness, and respect. Now, perhaps your passions lie less with building out your community and more in offering guidance to those finding their way. For that focus, we now turn to the craft of the guide witch.
Treading those bridges and working within community, a guide witch works to connect others to a witchy journey. I like to think of a guide witch as a bit of the metaphysical librarian and the mentors. They offer a bit of guidance as they walk alongside other witches on their paths. Because the focus here is truly in helping others find a way within the craft itself, this path tends to require a broader swath of occult magic and knowledge. It's a great path for those who've been working within the craft for years and are looking to pass on their experience and practices. While it certainly doesn't require that a witch know everything, quote unquote, it does require a willingness to continue to learn and grow. As with all paths, it's good to start in places of natural affinity, crafts and paths that you're naturally drawn to. But then as time goes and your craft builds and expands, there will be many opportunities to try new paths, crafts, and practices. It is here that the guide witch builds their path and then brings others along. For me, this path has really been summed up via my journey hosting this podcast. As someone who generally has a bit of a hard time making social contact, meeting fellow witches seems impossible sometimes, until I was willing to step out of my broom closet. And in doing so, I realized that I had years of experience that actually might help others along their paths to find something that resonates. And so I started to inadvertently build my own guide witch path. It's a journey I'm still on, and I would say at this phase, there are areas where I play more of a librarian role, referring people to better and more original sources. And then there are topics and crafts where my years of experience allow me to offer more of a mentorship relationship. In fact, did you know that if you join us for free over on Patreon, you can help me build this guide path of my own by allowing me the honor in helping you build your practice? I regularly post opportunities in our Lunar newsletter, free to all our Patreon subscribers, paid or not, and the opportunities are at no cost and come in whatever format works best for you. To get started, consider your own path, practice, and journey. What areas and time would having a mentor have been the most useful? And how might you connect with others during that same step in the process? From another angle, it's about defining and realizing the power of your own experience and how it might help others. This does likely mean having a few specialty witchcrafts that you have probably spent years with. Again, this path isn't for those newly starting out. Instead, it's an undertaking that it's approached after years of working within the craft. A guide witch path does often have some element of public practice in that you at least have to make yourself known and available to those whom you're interested in guiding. Because of this, I do think it becomes important to set boundaries, wards, and protections. Practicing publicly can draw unwanted attention, something the village witch is constantly contending with. While bridge and guide witches work to build and mentor a magical grove, a village witch offers their services to any who need it within the community, witchy and non-witchy folks alike. Much like the popular trope, a village witch often lives within and at the edge of a community. It's a place of tempered acceptance in some groups and a role of honor in others. And these communities don't have to necessarily be your town or city. Communities come in all shapes and sizes, and how a village witch shows up for their specific community is going to vary highly based on their focus within the craft. For instance, healing is often a common village witchcraft. With its focus on healing others, village witches don't hesitate to offer those services beyond the magical community, which means there is definitely an element of a more public practice here. Business witches, justice witches, advocate and activist witches all often find themselves treading parallel to this path, if not directly on it. When others are aware of their craft, business witches have the opportunity to practice more openly in their day-to-day work, effectively bringing about more reliable results. They may also help create vibe and tone energies that set the heartbeat of the workplace. It is here when these two paths combine that we see a pinnacle path in play. Village witches, much like guide witches, are often those who have been around the witch's wheel a few times, honing their craft over years and decades. And similarly, this path and its specifics will depend on the area of focus and talents of your own particular craft. It's probably best to encounter this path after having built a comfort with at least one or two other areas of the witch's wheel. For instance, tarot work, spell jars, candle magic, etc., etc. Experience here is like creating a quality product or art. It takes time. For me, village witchery manifests in my work and personal communities. I have a lot of non-magical friends who still like to talk about the craft. Same with coworkers. By being willing to have those conversations, I hope to demystify and destigmatize areas of the craft that get a bad rap. I also like to make people aware of the diversity of practice within witchcraft. Not everyone is Wiccan, and in fact, more and more witches are identifying in other ways. It also tends to really be a paradigm shift for folks when they consider how their current religion and witchcraft echo each other in certain ways, or might actually offer a good complementary spiritual practice. Village witches engage both of the bridge building and guiding witch paths to create not only a safe space for others to ask questions and explore, but also a safe space to exist for themselves and other magical folks. I haven't yet gotten to the point in my practice where I feel comfortable selling spells, but I do imagine one day that the witch's wheel practice will have some extra tools or guides that I feel might be comfortable charging for. Again, for me, it's always been about access, which is also why I can't thank our paid Patreons enough for helping us keep the lights on, the hearth lit, and the doors open. It's worth noting that this role, unlike many others, requires a sense of resilience about one's craft, power, and energies to combat the naysaying and devil-worshipping comments. Village witches must be able to push through that energy in order to be effective in their work, so it's a twofold path, one that often requires just as much dancing Diasil as walking Widdershins.
Being some kind of hedge witch, I tend to dwell on the edge of the village, never engaging with it through my craft too much. I definitely grew up in areas where the mere whiff of witchcraft would have gotten me, at the very least, a heavy side eye, if not straight up accusations of working with the devil. So I kept my craft a little closer to the chest unless I was looking to stir up some good trouble. There were witchier folks dotted throughout these areas, but the village as a whole just wasn't open to the idea. Now I live somewhere much more progressive, with a tighter knit, but also more open community, and full of people I believe are secret witches, if not just openly witchy. Given this, I'm hoping to explore coming out of the wood and into the village, so to speak, more with my craft as I continue to settle into my new home. But say you want to take this idea of community and a village and spin it into something completely witchy in nature. That's when our coven crafter comes into play.
Covens hold a long-standing history in the occult and witchcraft, small magical groups bound together by the work that they create. We actually have a whole episode on covens versus a solitary path, number 63 for easy reference. Those witches who work within, create, and or lead covens focus on building an in-depth connection with a smaller group of witchy community. Covens can vary in size, from as little as 2 to 3 witches, up to larger covens, some as big as 20 or so. Beyond that, it begins to shift from coven to a more community-based craft. We like to call this a grove. Let's start with covens, and then we'll expand out a bit. Covens offer witches the unique opportunity to align their energy workings with others, providing the ability to amplify the work. This sort of vibrational tuning can be done in a few ways, but no matter what, is going to involve a bit of a deeper social connection. Covens often consider themselves to be a second or third relationship within their lives. These are people that one often has a strong personal bond with and who share similar values and goals. They also often have pretty close alignment with on how they practice the craft. For instance, chaos covens versus Wiccan covens versus atomic covens. All will approach things differently both in how they work their craft, but also in structure, communication, creed, and practicality. Some covens meet every full moon, some meet on astronomical holidays, others on the 8 quarters. However, in between, these groups are often also just family, friends, and sometimes lovers. As we expand out, we get into magical communities, what we here at Atomic Witchcraft refer to as a grove. Here, individuals come together to share knowledge, community, and celebrations. It's a wider group that requires less in-depth personal investment while still providing space and opportunity to meet mentors and perhaps even possible coven mates. It becomes the proverbial water cooler or well place for like-minded witches. Here, the craft paths that are practiced might be more varied, offering instead a more open hearth and cauldron. Groves also often offer a bit more ceremony or activities that allow bridge builders, guides, and village witches to work their magic, providing a safe space for those that are magically curious. For me, Covencraft was a big part of my starting journey as a teenager, and in fact, I am still best friends with a few of those beautiful humans. Some have stayed with their craft, others have found other ways to support their spirits. It makes us no less connected. In some ways, I think they may know me best, having seen my young witchy self grow into my now witchy self. They have been with me on a journey that only they could have. So, because it was during my younger years, we approached coven work under the Wiccan model, which has some tiers and structures to it, including initiation processes and journeys to become high priestesses and priests. Honestly, all of that was really hard on me and really started to clue me into what I wanted differently from a practice. More hand-in-hand and less gatekeeping. From there, my practice became more and more siloed, until Alyssa came into my life, and then Jay, and well, here we are now. While we may not officially call ourselves a coven, we are keepers of the grove we are building. With that, I want to touch on paid witchcraft communities. The commercialism of witchcraft in New Age groups is a real thing, and one that I encourage everyone to be a little wary of. I'm sure some of these groups offer really great things, but I also know that a pay-to-play game doesn't create an equitable grove or community. This shouldn't be an access game available to those only with enough funds to engage. Witchcraft has and always will be the manifestations of the everyday person. It is the magical language of resistance and uprising. It is the rebelliousness and protector of spirit. No one should have to pay to learn and be in that community. The craft isn't something to gatekeep. It's not something to be locked up in ancient texts and guarded. It is literally and always has been the basic will of the people. Instead, what if we viewed it as something to share, a secret we want everyone in on, because together, it makes for one hell of a powerful tool. Getting started in coven work is first and foremost about, you know, finding your people, then coming together over creed, craft, and practicalities. How often to meet, what will you do, how things will be done, how will mundane tasks like setup and breakdown be handled. Then it's about building that relationship even deeper. This might involve allowing others into your shadow work or inviting others to assist in spell work. Covens will also work together to achieve what I like to call big magic or larger energy workings. With several people in the mix, it allows for those energy waves to align and amplify. Groves too can have moments of magical alignment. Whether it is in celebration of the season or communal big magic, there are a few techniques that are science-backed in how we human beings connect. For instance, we know that drum beats, when played in a group, will align everyone's heartbeat. This is even if you aren't playing but can just even hear it. Adding movement amplifies that physical energy, connecting and aligning movement, creating even more kinetic energy. Then consider the power of song. Not just perfect pitch, but harmonies as well, and how voices weave a different type of magic. Not just amplifying, but also holding and filling in where help is needed. The power of connecting in community is undeniable, something coven witches learn to build and harness. The energy created from those working is often palpable and honestly sometimes a bit addictive in nature. They can also be exhausting and deeply taxing. A reminder that even in group spaces, we must always take time to care for ourselves.
For the bulk of my journey, I was really a solo witch, as I believe many of us tend to be. I would occasionally join others for celebrations on the solstices and equinoxes, or for Samhain and Beltane, but never had a consistent group I worked with. It was usually just me and the trees. Until I started practicing with Ash and Jay, and we started building our little grove, which ended up rippling out to include a few others on celebration days, and eventually led to us reaching out to the larger witchcraft community in the PNW and online. While my main practice is still solo, knowing that I have my grove to gather and practice with, or celebrate the changing seasons with, is truly special and something I hold dear to my heart. I didn't imagine I would end up weaving coven craft into my path, but now that I have, I can't imagine being without it. I encourage all of you to find your people, whether that's in person, online, or here with us around the Atomic Hearth. You are always welcome. And while some crafts come more naturally than others, like all things, practice will always improve skill, even innate skill. That's why the elements, including witch, are recurring themes across the witch's wheel cycles. It's a consistent building upon skill and relationship.
As the practices of community crafters explore in a variety of ways, a witch's practice may be one which focuses outward to the society around them, with intent to move forward together. Whether that's the progress of a cause or clarity of judgment, of the growth of witchy community or of individuals on their own journeys, of the needs and hopes of one's neighbors, or of the witches who stand at your side. If one or some of these crafts tug rightly at your magical heartstrings, then this path may be a meaningful one for you to get to know better.
Did you know Atomic Witchcraft isn't just a podcast? It's a community. You can find us on Patreon, Discord, Facebook, and more. We are also excited to announce the return of our free virtual Zoom gatherings, our Sunday Havens, happening on the fourth Sunday of every month at noon Pacific. All this great info can be found on our Linktree. Link is in the bio. Let's be witchy together.